Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. The United States and the Quartet, consisting of four entities, United States, European Union, and United Nations, and Russia, have stepped up their efforts to jumpstart the roadmap for peace in the Middle East between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Where is the so-called roadmap to peace leading, and what does the roadmap to peace have to do with Bible prophecy? In this program, we're going to examine recent events that we all need to know more about in light of Bible prophecy. This past week, early in the week, U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice met with Israeli Prime Minister Ariel Sharon and, on behalf of President Bush, urged the Israelis to open the crossings for Gaza's Arabs into Israel and open the border crossing between Gaza and Egypt at Rafah. Rice said that although the Israeli withdrawal from Gaza and northern Samaria was a positive and important step, Israel must continue to empower the Palestinian Authority and assist in establishing a Palestinian state. If you will recall, the original resolution that allowed the State of Israel to exist, passed by the United Nations, Resolution 181 in November of 1947, call for the creation of both an Israeli and Palestinian state at that time. The Palestinians rejected that resolution and eventually attacked Israel, and then you had the 1948 war that Israel won, and Israel eventually became a member of the United Nations, and the Palestinians are still without a state. That same resolution also called for the internationalization of Jerusalem, with the holy sites being overseen by a third party. In her meeting with Sharon, Rice says, quote, "I expect to continue to work with you and your camp." She said this at the start of the meetings, and she went on to say, "to progress toward the two-state solution in which Israel and the Palestinian state can live in peace, free and free of terror." Prior to Israel's withdrawal from Gaza, the border between Gaza and Egypt at Rafah was a major point for smuggling weapons into Gaza and into the hands of the Palestinian Authority. The Israeli Defense Force discovered numerous underground tunnels used for smuggling armaments into Gaza. According to Arutz, an online Israeli newspaper, following the withdrawal, that is, Israel's withdrawal from Gaza, despite Palestinian Authority and Egyptian guarantees, the border was left wide open for over a week, enabling the transport of unknown amounts of weaponry into Gaza. Secretary of State Rice went on to apply intense pressure upon Prime Minister Sharon to relax Israel's security requirements in order to open the Rafah border crossing between Gaza and Egypt. According to Arutz, Rice also told Israeli officials that the United States favors Hamas terror group taking part in Palestinian Authority elections. Rice also demanded that Israel expand the exports and granting of work permits to the Palestinian Authority residents at the Karni crossing from Gaza to Israel, a reality difficult to implement due to Palestinian Authority's refusal to accede to Israeli security needs. The roadmap to peace plan for Palestine is being pushed, as we've already mentioned, by four entities, United States, European Union, Russia, and the UN, and are being referred to as the Quartet. The Quartet's special envoy, James Wolfensohn, president of the World Bank, has also been applying pressure upon Israel to relinquish its security demands concerning free passage for Gaza residents. In favor of enabling free passage to residents of the Palestinian Authority, Wolfensohn told reporters that Israel is entrenching itself, quote, "in security considerations, transforming the Gaza Strip into an enormous prison." That's quite a statement for the president of the World Bank to make, who's supposed to be a special envoy using his diplomatic skills to try to bring reconciliation between Israel and the Palestinians. To show how determined the Bush administration is to get the peace process back on track, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice postponed her trip to Korea in order to stay over in Israel another day to reach an agreement of the border crossing between Gaza and Egypt at Rafah. On Tuesday of this week, Rice met with Defense Minister Shaul Mofaz, and the two closed the final details for the deal. The crossing is now scheduled to be opened by November the 25th. Israel is concerned both about those who enter Gaza with terrorist intentions and or weapons, and those who leave Gaza with the intention of entering Israel via the Sinai and carrying out attacks. The quartet are dedicated to the creation of a Palestinian state and settling the question of who will exercise hegemony over Jerusalem. The solution that has been offered by various peace proposals calls for Jerusalem being divided into East Jerusalem, controlled by the Palestinians, who are largely Arabic and Muslim, and West Jerusalem, controlled by the Israelis. One of the major drawbacks to this proposal is the fact that most of the holy sites are in East Jerusalem. The Temple Mount is the site of Solomon's Temple and the Restoration Temple, or as some call it, the Second Temple. Thus, the Temple Mount is viewed by Jews as the most holy and sacred place on the face of the earth. At the present time, two Muslim mosques, the Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, stand on the Temple Mount. Several Jewish groups are dedicated to building a third temple on the Temple Mount and have made extensive preparations to do so, including the instruments that are used in temple worship, the garments that are worn by the priest, and have also developed plans for the building of a third temple. Bible prophecy points to the Jews restoring temple worship before the second coming of Christ to this earth. Note what Christ states in the Olivet prophecy concerning one of the signs of his coming and the end of the age in Matthew 24 and verse 15. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso reads, let him understand. And in Daniel chapter 12, the words of Daniel that Christ referred to are recorded. First of all, in Daniel 12:1, we see the time setting, and at that time being the time of the end, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of your people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as was never since there was a nation, even to that same time. This will be the period of the great tribulation. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. What is that book? That book is the Lamb's Book of Life. In Revelation 13:8, it says that everyone whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life are deceived, and they worship the beast. Based on the words of Jesus Christ and the prophet Daniel, we know that this is an end-time prophecy. Daniel chapter 12, verse 11, and from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that makes desolate set up, remember Christ said, when you see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place, let him who reads understand. He says there shall be 1,035 days. But go your way till the end be, for you shall rest, speaking to Daniel, and stand in your lot at the end of days. In order for the daily sacrifice to be taken away, it must be restored. Some kind of agreement has to be reached that would allow the Israelis to restore temple worship. It seems that the current plan of the quartet, the United States, European Union, United Nations, and Russia, that they are laying the groundwork for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. The Apostle John was given a prophecy in Revelation 11, verses 1 through 2 concerning Jerusalem, showing that Jerusalem would be divided during the great tribulation. In Revelation 11, in verse 1, and there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, rise and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles. It sounds like this is the area outside of the Temple Mount, and the holy city shall they, that is the Gentiles, the nations, the Greek word for Gentiles is ethnos, and perhaps a better translation is nations, and the nation shall tread it underfoot for 42 months. And at the same time that Jerusalem is being trodden down by the nations, God is going to inspire and empower two Spirit-filled witnesses to prophesy in Jerusalem. The quartet, they are bringing all the political pressure they can on Israel to make the concessions necessary for the creation of a Palestinian state. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to examine why the roadmap for peace is so important to the Bush administration and also to the quartet, and what it means for you and what it has to do with end-time events. There is no question that we're living in the most critical, crucial times in human history. If you would really like to understand, and you need to understand, the times in which we're living, Christ said that we should be discerning the times, that we should watch and pray always that we may be counted worthy to escape all these things, then you need to call for our free booklet, Are We Living in the Last Days? This booklet will help you to understand why we are living in the last days according to Bible prophecy. And also request the booklet, You Can Understand Bible Prophecy. Yes, you can understand Bible prophecy, and you can understand current events in the light of Bible prophecy. These two booklets will help you immensely in your study of God's Word and trying to make sense out of the world in which we're living. To receive these free booklets, all you have to do is call our toll-free number. No one will call on you. There will be no follow-up, and we don't ask for money. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to world news and prophecy. As we have seen in the first segment of our program, the United States, the European Union, the United Nations, and Russia are trying to jumpstart the peace process in the Middle East following the so-called roadmap to peace, which calls for the Israelis returning to basically the 1967 borders before the 1967 war. In that war, the 1967 war, Israel gained control of the Temple Mount, but for some reason left it under control of the Arab world and the world of Islam. Just recently, the president of the Palestinian Authority visited with President Bush in Washington, D.C. Upon his return, the Palestinian daily newspaper Al-Quds reports that Abbas briefed President Mubarak of Egypt and King Abdullah II of Jordan on his talks with President Bush. Abbas called for stopping new Jewish settlements, the isolation wall, as they call it. Israel is building a giant wall between them and the Palestinians, so he says they have to stop that, and they have to stop, quote, the Judaizing of Jerusalem. It is doubtful that the question concerning who will control Jerusalem will be settled through diplomatic channels. More terror and war seems to be on the horizon before the question of control over Jerusalem is settled. There are several factions seeking control of Palestine and Jerusalem in particular. Even though the current roadmap to peace is being backed by the quartet, each entity of the quartet would love to have sole possession of Palestine and Jerusalem. Jerusalem has been viewed as the spiritual capital of the Western world, and in the world tomorrow, that is the world that is coming, as prophesied by Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, that the nations are going to go up to Jerusalem, and they're going to be taught God's law and God's way, and all the nations will come up there, and those who don't come up to that will receive plagues according to Zechariah chapter 14. In addition to the quartet who would love to control Palestine and Jerusalem, The Islamic world and the Vatican seek control of Palestine in Jerusalem. The Israeli newspaper Rutz reports Israeli President Moshe Katsfas will meet with Pope Benedict XVI this week, and this is a rather astounding report. The meeting will mark the first visit of an Israeli leader to the Vatican. Catholic newspapers report that Katsfas was planning to agree to transfer sovereignty of property on Mount Zion, and that is the building housing King David's grave site, in exchange for an old synagogue in Toledo, Spain. King David's grave site, his tomb, is considered to be one of the holiest sites in Judaism. Kotzov's office strenuously denies the allegations, but the rumors persist. It is known and has been known that the Catholic Church has long requested a form of sovereignty over the Last Supper room and the path leading to it. In addition, David Bartholdi of Haifa is making plans to build a multi-million-dollar Catholic complex on Mount Zion, displacing a longtime tenant, the Diaspora Yeshiva. He has lobbied many governmental offices on behalf of the project, which he calls, quote, the Celestial Psalms Tract, in which he is confident he can earn $5 million a year. Diaspora Yeshiva, Diaspora means the scattering and Yeshiva means school. The school's director, Rabbi Shabbatai Herman, recently explained to the Israeli newspaper Rutz that if the Catholic Church receives control of the area just a few hundred yards from the Temple Mount and adjacent to the old city walls, it will turn it into, quote, the International Center for Catholics around the world, and if the Pope just gives the word, Christians or Catholics will be flocking over there in mass. Bible prophecy makes it clear that there is coming a union of church and state when the beast and the false prophet plant their headquarters in Jerusalem. The false prophet will deceive the peoples of the world into worshiping the image of the beast, and if they refuse, they will be put to death. Note how the Apostle John describes this in Revelation chapter 11, and I beheld another beast. I'm sorry, this is Revelation chapter 13, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. So this beast that comes up, he looks like a lamb, but he really speaks as a dragon, and he is energized by Satan the devil, and he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men and deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Jesus Christ states in the Olivet Prophecy in Matthew 24 that the deception is going to be so great that if it were possible, that it would deceive the very elect. He goes on to say in Revelation 13, 15, and he being the false prophet, had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So how are they going to be able to track all of this? Of course, in the world that we live in, with technology booming the way it is and new inventions every day and microchips being developed, some people say, well, it's already a fact that they can implant chips under the skin that will record your medical history and, in essence, record who you are, what you are, and all your personal information. Behind all the political and diplomatic intrigue, Satan the devil is working day and night in his efforts to bring these things to pass and to break prophecy and deceive the world into worshiping him through the beast and false prophet. No matter how skilled the diplomatic corps are, they will never truly negotiate peace in the Middle East. But peace is coming to the Middle East and the whole world. Jesus Christ is going to come back to this earth, as Jude writes in Jude 1, verse 14, that the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints. The Apostle John writes in Revelation 11, 15, that when the seventh angel sounds, introducing the last trumpet plagues, that, or the plagues of the last trumpet, which are really divided into the seven vials of wrath, as recorded in Revelation 16. Revelation 11:15 says, "The kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." When did this become a reality? It says that when the seventh angel sounds, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The world will still have to experience the seven vials of wrath, with the sixth vial of wrath being the battle of the great day of God Almighty. You can read in Revelation 16, verses 12 and 13, where the devil, the beast, and the false prophet are still in alliance together, making up an unholy triad of beings who go out to deceive the nations and to gather the nations to a place called Armageddon. But the battle is called, as you'll see in your Bible, the battle of the great day of God Almighty. The Bible makes it clear that everyone whose name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be deceived. What about you? Will you be able to stand with Christ and the saints in the great day of the battle of God Almighty? Do you know who God is, what God is, and what is his purpose? Do you know what man is, who man is, and what is his purpose? God is our loving Father. God is Spirit. And God wants all to come to a knowledge of him. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God is not a respecter of persons. He wants you personally and individually in his kingdom and in his family. But you cannot be there unless you develop a relationship with God and Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the only way that we can be reconciled to God and have our sins covered is through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So you must exercise faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ so that your past sins can be remitted. And from that point on, you are to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, striving your very best to crucify the old man, to put it to death in the principal doctrines of Christ as enumerated by the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 6. We see him talking about repentance from dead works, faith, and that's faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and baptisms and the laying on of hands. You have to go through those four steps to become a member of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is a spiritual organism. The body of Christ consists of those who have the Spirit of God. You may confess that you know Jesus Christ, but are you willing to crucify yourself and lay down your life for him? In Romans chapter 6, the Apostle Paul uses the analogy of crucifixion and burial with baptism, that we are baptized into the death of Jesus Christ, signifying that we are going to put the old man to death, that we're going to come up out of that watery grave and live a new life, that we will no longer be slaves to sin. For to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servant you are. The ministers who are teaching that the law of God is done away with and all you have to do is have faith in the righteousness of God are leading you down the wrong path. Jesus Christ did not come to save us in our sins. He came to save us out of our sins. As it says in Galatians chapter 2, verses 16, 17, and 18, yes, we are justified by faith without the deeds of the law. There is no amount of commandment keeping or law keeping or any kind of ceremonial acts that you can do that will pay for the sins that are past, but you cannot be justified unless you're willing to surrender and submit yourself to God and live the life of faith. Because the Apostle Paul goes on to show you in Galatians 2, 17 and 18, that if we continue in the way that we were going, after we say that we've been justified by faith, we make Jesus Christ the minister of sin. And he says, God forbid that we should make Jesus Christ the minister of sin. Once again, Jesus Christ came to save us out of our sins, not in our sins. And the only way that we can have our sins remitted is through faith in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ makes it very clear that we are to follow his example. What example did Jesus Christ set for us? He said very clearly that just as he had kept his Father's commandments, that we should keep his commandments and bring forth fruit that will glorify our Father in heaven. I wish, brethren, I wish all of you could come to understand, and all of us could come to understand, what it really means to be a Christian. It means to live as Jesus Christ lived. There is no other way. There is no cheap grace. There's no easy way for you to enter into the kingdom of God. It says very clearly in Matthew chapter 7, in verses 14, 15, 16, along in there, where it says that narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leads to eternal life, and few there be that are finding it. You are not going to find that way unless you open the pages of your Bible and begin to read the Bible and to understand. Check up and see whether or not the things that I'm saying are true. Check up and see whether or not the things that your pastor is saying are true. You must read the Bible for yourself. You must not let anyone else dictate to you what you are going to believe. And you must have the courage to be able to stand. After Satan the devil is cast down and he realizes that he has but a few short days on this earth, as it says in Revelation 12, verses 10 and 11 and 12, that Satan is come down having great wrath, knowing that he has, that his time is short, and it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Yes, events in this world are speeding up. Many of the events that are taking place at the present time seem to be leading to the fulfillment of many of the prophecies that are found in your Bible, prophecies that we have cited today in this program. The returning Jesus Christ is going to destroy those armies that come against him in the battle of the great day of God Almighty, and through his power, the kingdom of God will be established on this earth. And he has promised us that we will be kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Revelation 5:10. I don't know why people won't open the Bible and see for themselves. No, we're not going to go off to heaven and float around on clouds and play harps. We're going to bring peace and prosperity to this earth. We're going to be literally sons and daughters of God in the kingdom of God. We're going to have glorious, radiant spirit existence. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ, as it says in Romans 8 and verse 17. You can be a part of that great coming kingdom. You can start your work as an ambassador of that kingdom today. And your work as an ambassador of that kingdom is the ministry of reconciliation, of bringing people together in peace and harmony. Be sure to be tuned to this same station at this same time next week for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, Are We Living in the Last Days, and You Can Understand Bible Prophecy, all you have to do is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And until next time, this is Donald Ward for World News and Prophecy.